My name is Douglas Grimes, and I represent the appellant in this case. It's our contention that the circumstances did not, in this case, require the type of seizure that occurred, and that seizure by a police canine was unreasonable. And we believe that because if we look at the offense that the Tilson was ultimately charged with, driving under the influence and public intoxication, those
did are... Did he resist arrest?
Of course not. He did not, Judge.
What did he do? Didn't he take off?
Mr. Tilson had a blood alcohol...
We're not talking about the alcohol.
I understand,
yeah.
But that explains my response to your question.
Oh.
3.5 times the normal level. So therefore, under the doctor's report, the hospital report, Mr. Tilson was virtually comatose. So he could not.
So you're using alcohol as a defense for the second crime?
No, I'm not. One, he was not charged with.
I don't care what he was charged with.
I understand.
You're using alcohol for the defense of the.
No, I'm not using it as a defense at all.
Right.
Mr.
Okay.
Tilson was very blunt in his deposition. He admitted. He said he's a weekend drinker, and he had been drinking since he left home after cleaning up from work. So, no, I'm not using it as a defense. But what I am using it as is the fact that he could not form the intent to resist arrest. So he could not form that intent given his state of inebriation. Once again, I still say that I'm not arguing alcohol as a defense, but that he simply couldn't form the...
What difference does that make?
Yeah.
His intent. He's running away and they take an attack dog on him. Who cares what his intent is?
Well, I think his intent is important if you're talking about charging him.
No, how can his intent matter? The Supreme Court keeps saying that the standard under the Fourth Amendment is objective. So his intent can't possibly matter to the Fourth Amendment inquiry, can it?
Well, I think it does under the facts of this case. Number one...
No, either it's objective or it's not.
The text of the Fourth Amendment is supposed to be reasonable standard.
And the Supreme Court says that is completely objective. It has nothing to do with the contents of people's heads.
I do understand that.
And therefore, intent can't matter.
I do understand that, but in this particular case, the officer already knew far in advance of what happened in terms of the dog that Mr. Tilson was intoxicated.
He believed he was. He didn't know.
Well, he knew that he was intoxicated.
He believed he did.
He believed that he did, and the reason why he believed that was...
Maybe they figured they got enough blood out of him, so they didn't...
Well, the reason that he believed that, Judge, was because he was trying to get a very large Cadillac into a very small parking space. And then, once he learned that he couldn't do that, I suppose, he then drove up on the curb. And so this officer, at that very point, believed that he was dealing with a person who was driving under the influence. And so that is the context in which I'm arguing, not that against what the Supreme Court has said, but that in this particular case and under these circumstances, this subject could not have had the intent to resist. The other thing is that the offense itself wasn't one of great severity.
Why? A drunken driver driving a car down the highway that can kill anybody around him, that's not severe.
Not severe in the sense of the jurisprudence with regard to excessive force. In this particular case, what we normally hear or see with regard to...
A 4,000-pound vehicle can do just as much damage as one bullet.
I agree with the court. There's no question about that. All I'm saying is that DUI has not been viewed in the same context as physical force that is actually employed through violence. That is all that I'm saying.
Why do they have the law of second-degree manslaughter with a vehicle?
Well, Judge, I don't disagree with that. All I'm talking about are the facts in this particular case. all the things that you suggest, and Judge Easterbrook suggests, I have no quarrel with that. But I'm saying that in this particular case, the offense was not severe enough for the officer to ultimately order a police canine to attack this person when he knew that that individual was under the influence. In addition to that, the bite policy itself prohibits the use of a canine when the person is intoxicated. And the officer was aware of that also. Chesson was not an immediate threat to the officer. The officer has acknowledged that in his deposition. He wasn't a threat to the officer. In fact, he never even approached the officer. He wasn't a threat of imminent danger to the officer or to any member of the public.
Or to any member of the public?
Driving that vehicle?
Flight by an impaired driver in a vehicle is not a risk to any member of the public? We have, unfortunately, too many people who die in high-speed chases
Yes.
or from drunk drivers.
Yes.
So how does one say, how do we write an opinion that says, well, you can't do anything to stop him because he was no risk to the public?
Well, I don't think you can, and I'm not suggesting that you should.
But you just told us he was no risk to the public.
And I find that
I'm left incredulous at that assertion.
Well, Judge, with regard to the issue of DUI, I do understand that, and to the extent that my statement tended to suggest that I didn't recognize the danger, that's not true, and I do embrace your concern about that. My problem is that in this particular case, the officer did not believe that he was even enough of a threat to turn on his siren. So, although he knew...
Wait a minute. I'm sorry, I think he turned the dog out for exercise.
There's no question that he could have... You would even concede that the police officer could have chased Mr. Tilson and wrestled him to the ground if he was running away. You don't deny that, do you?
Of course not.
Okay. Could have done that.
Yes, but he didn't.
The case is whether sticking this dog on him and fighting him is excessive force. So what do you care about all this intense stuff?
Well, Judge, I, to the best of my ability, I've tried to respond to that. So I've responded to that in the sense that I'm not trying to use the inebriation as a defense. What I am saying is that an officer who already knows that a suspect is intoxicated then turns around and says, I'm going to follow. When the suspect stops, he gets out of his vehicle, according to the record. Then he gets back in his vehicle and he pulls off. First of all, there's no evidence that suspect even knew that the officer was behind him at a particular point in time because, as you recall, the record shows that there was a point in which the subject says he saw the officer behind him, but when he went one way, the officer went the other way, and the only reason he's able to determine that it was a police officer at that point was because of the side of the car, and he could see the emblem. So, I once again, at the end of the day, the issue was whether or not the officer requiring the dog to apprehend Mr. Tilman was reasonable under the facts of this case. And it's our position that it wasn't. I've reserved some time.
Thank you, Counsel.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Dane Tubergen. I represent the City of Elkhart and Police Officer DeJong in this case. This case is determined, all the issues are wrapped up in this case can be determined by the determination that there was no constitutional injury in this case. It's a case that should be decided under the Fourth Amendment objective reasonableness criteria, as the judge has pointed out.
Why is it objectively reasonable to stick an attack dog on a fleeing either motorist, I don't know how you want to characterize them.
The Supreme Court, as under Graham versus Connor, has given us three things to look at, among others. One, the severity of the offense. Two, whether or not there's a threat to the safety of the police officer or others. And third, whether or not there's an active resistance or an active fleeing of the police officer. Those are three of the factors that can go into the objective reasonableness of the situation. Here, we have a police officer who suspected a driver may be intoxicated. Upon trying to stop and investigate that crime, the driver commits in the officer's presence a felony by fleeing the officer in a motor vehicle. That's a felony under the state of Indiana. Driving under the influence, of course, can be a felony. That simple act can be a felony if it's a subsequent offense. So we have a police officer seeking to apprehend a person who committed a felony in his presence and who is suspected of a misdemeanor.
No question he's got all the authority he needs to apprehend this fleeing motorist. No question. But he himself, maybe you'd disagree with this, but could he have chased him, caught him, and then bit his leg and punctured his arterial artery?
Well,
that would probably be excessive force.
I think that's a very good analysis. This police officer probably could have physically chased down this gentleman and caught him, and without the humorous part of biting his leg, could have arrested him.
Well, you're having the dog do what the police officer, in effect.
Well, other than the sanitation of it and the unusualness of it that might implicate something else, he probably could have. But he certainly could have, even under these circumstances, he could have attempted to chase the man down himself. But
no doubt he could do that. He could have chased him. He could have caught him. So maybe he could send a dog after him. But could he allow the dog to do something he can't do?
I don't have an answer.
Do you think that'd be excessive force to have run down this motorist?
It would be because of this reason. He has handcuffs. He has two hands he can use. If the officer had imperiled himself and chased this gentleman and tackled him, wrestled him to the ground, he then, with his two hands, could have handcuffed him and otherwise subdued him. He had a weapon he could have used as well. A dog has only his, to apprehend a suspect, has only his teeth. So I think it would not be objectively reasonable for an officer to bite and hold a suspect, whereas a dog, who is much faster, is better at chasing down people, has only the bite as a weapon and the means to make the apprehension. So I think the answer to your question is no, it would not be reasonable for the officer. Yes, it is reasonable for the dog. And there are, of course, a number of...
Who's defending the dog?
You haven't given any thought to issuing firearms to the dogs, have you?
No, sir. No, Your Honor. I think it's important, though, to keep in mind that the officer is legitimately not chasing this person himself because, one, the behavior was quite bizarre. He had no idea what he was going to do. He pulled his car up into the backyard of a home in a residential area and started running. This officer did observe that the suspect knew he was a police officer. So he knew he was fleeing a police officer, and I think that the officer exercised some discretion in not imperiling himself in going after this gentleman who's acting in a very bizarre manner as to what he might do. And I think, and of course, in very similar circumstances in the cases that I've cited in the brief, other circuit courts have found the use of a dog in a bite and hold technique to be objectively reasonable. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There's no other questions? No.
How can the bite and hold technique be reasonable? You have a canine with powerful jaws, huge teeth, and he apprehends the suspect
He bites him and holds him. How can that be reasonable? That's just like if DeJong had shot Mr. Tilson in the leg and then shot him again and shot him again. That's the same as biting and holding. That's not reasonable for a canine to be permitted to continue to injure a person who has been apprehended.
By the dog.
By the dog, as a result of instructions by the handler. That is atrocious. When the police come up to that suspect, they will not allow the dog to release his bite until the suspect stops moving. Thank you.
Thank you, Counsel.
Thank you.
That happened in Elkhart, huh?
Yes.
Not Peoria.
Thank you.